Welcome. We are going to call the meeting of March 18th to order, and we do have a quorum. First order of business is the minutes from March 13th. Chair Swazinski, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair. The minutes are absolutely excellent, and I would like to move the minutes from March 13th.
Well, of course they are. Any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails and the minutes are approved. We've got four bills on the agenda today. All of them are being laid over, so opportunities to continue working. But for the first bill, we have House File 1013 with Representative Kraft. Why don't you go ahead and move your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move House File 1013.
Be laid over.
Laid over for possible inclusion.
Great. And I see there is an author's amendment. Did you want to move the amendment?
I would. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move the DE2. And this is to get the bill in the way that I would like it to be addressed. And it clarifies some of the, makes the language in the first paragraph a bit tighter and adds a reporting requirement.
Great. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Kraft, why don't you go ahead and tell us about your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. So I am just so thrilled to bring this bipartisan bill to our committee. Minnesota Energy Alley is about developing a kind of Silicon Valley of clean energy in Minnesota. We are leading in deploying clean energy in Minnesota, so let's capitalize on that to create an energy innovation ecosystem here. In what is probably one of the most exciting and fastest growing and largest global markets of the 21st century, this can be a huge jobs and investment engine for Minnesota. And I think this effort can and should be a poster child for a private-public partnership. 2 years ago, I'd like to congratulate this committee, we invested $3 million in this effort, and it's working. It's working to help exciting new clean energy technology scale. It's working to attract outside money to the participants and to the effort, and it's on the path to being self-funded in the next few years. As anyone involved with startups knows, it takes some time to scale. I am so impressed with the progress Energy Alley has made to scale and get to self-sufficiency. They're asking for $5 million, and I think this is a great investment. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my testifiers to tell the story far better than I could.
Great. First, we have Greg Mast, Energy Economy.
Oops, I have to turn the mic on. Sorry about that. First, we have Greg Mast with Clean Energy Economy Minnesota, Executive Director. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Mast. Please go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and go ahead and proceed.
All right. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Swazinski, as well as members of the committee. My name is Greg Mast, and I am the Executive Director of Clean Energy Economy Minnesota, or SEEM as we are known. We are an industry-led, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that works alongside our 80-plus clean energy business members to grow jobs and expand market opportunities to accelerate the state's transition to a safe, reliable, and affordable energy future. I'm going to keep my testimony brief so that you can hear from our other testifiers that are so critical to advancing the Minnesota Energy Alley initiative. However, I wanted to thank Representative Kraft for once again bringing this bill forward as chief author, and I would also like to thank several committee members who are also co-authors on this bipartisan bill. Thank you, Chair Acom. Thank you, Representative Jones, and then also, I believe, Representative Igo. I don't see him in the room, but thank you, Representative Igo, for being co-authors. SEEM is thrilled to spearhead this public-private partnership along with Grid Catalyst and the Minnesota Department of Commerce. SEEM's primary role is to ensure strategic implementation and execution of the initiative's programs. This includes directly supporting demonstration projects with seed funding that is so vital for startups, their local project partners, and host communities as they work to commercialize these promising energy technologies. As you will hear shortly, the Minnesota Energy Alley Initiative is already delivering measurable real-world results as we efficiently and effectively deploy the $3 million appropriation from the 2023 legislation. In closing, we are confident that this bill, as amended, will build and expand on the program's early success in supporting and nurturing startup businesses and will further strengthen our energy system and our economy. Thank you for your consideration of House File 1013 as amended, and I ask for your support as discussions regarding the renewable development account and appropriations continue this session. I really appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to take any questions, so I'll stick around to be available.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mast. Next on our list of testifiers, we have Nina Axelson, Grid Catalyst President and Founder. Welcome to committee. Please go ahead and introduce yourself. And are you guys going to testify together, present together?
Yeah.
Okay. And also Mr. Bernie, Chief Financial Officer from Flow Environmental Systems. Please go ahead and introduce yourselves for the record and proceed.
Thank you and good afternoon, Chair Akam and Chair Swidzinski, committee members and our co-authors of this bill. It's my privilege to be with you today. I'm Nina Axelson. I'm the president of Grid Catalyst. We're a Minnesota-based accelerator for energy startups. 2 years ago, we came before this committee to share a vision for what Minnesota Energy Alley could deliver for our state alongside our partners at Clean Energy Economy Minnesota. And I'm proud to return to this committee to share tremendous early results and traction. To date, we have supported over 20 Minnesota-based businesses in advancing their technologies toward commercialization, a hard path, as Representative Kraft already shared. 8 earlier stage Minnesota startups are in our Power North incubator. 5 Minnesota startups have participated in our demonstration program, including Flow, with pilots funded through Minnesota Energy Alley alongside 6 companies that we have attracted to Minnesota through the program. All projects are mobilized here with local partners, including the Grand Rapids Public Utilities, Minnesota Power for a battery pilot in Long Prairie, a high-efficiency motor making beer more efficient at Summit Brewing, a data center cooling project in St. Cloud, obviously a hot topic, hosted by the Alexandria-based Voltus, in partnership with the Rochester-based Liquid Cool Solutions. So really running across the state. And as I mentioned, speaking today, Flow Environmental Systems, they'll be demonstrating their heat pump technology at the local 455 steam fitters and pipe fitters training facility here in St. Paul. The investment into this initiative has already paid returns to Minnesota, with over $9 million attracted in public and private funding from our Minnesota cohort companies since 2024. In total, we have invested just over $1 million in all the pilots, attracting over $11 million total in what we call follow-on funding or public and private investment. This doubles our initial goal of attracting $5 million through the program. We have built incredible momentum in a very short time. We are leveraging national partnerships and building out future opportunities for the cohorts in building science, advanced manufacturing and fuels, and other topics that we know are key to Minnesota. We are confident that a second round of investment from the state will be key to long-term success without additional state funds. I'm a proud Minnesotan, so I'm just beaming usually when I talk about this program and what we've been able to accomplish. It's been an honor to represent our state in this work. Other states, as well as international partners, are asking, how do we do this? How do we replicate where Minnesota is leading? And programs across the country are sending their startups here to commercialize their technology, putting us in an incredible position for economic development and as an energy innovation leader. I'd happily take any questions you might have about Minnesota Energy Alley, the work we're doing, or the great startups that are making Minnesota a great place for energy innovation.
Thank you, Ms. Axelson. Mr. Bernie, would you like
proceed? Good afternoon, Chairs Akam, Swidzinski, and committee members. I'm delighted to be here. My name is Navid Bernie. I'm the co-founder of Flow Environmental Systems and the Chief Financial Officer. Flow Environmental Systems is a Minnesota-based energy business located in Rogers. After 3 years in development, Flow is on the cusp of delivering a Minnesota-made commercial heat pump to building owners worldwide, starting with a demonstration project here in St. Paul. We hold patents and IP that make our CO2 heat pumps incredibly energy efficient, even at ultra-low temperatures, while avoiding the use of synthetic refrigerants that contain forever chemicals. This heat pump can replace standard heating and cooling systems, thereby eliminating the need for chillers, cooling towers, boilers, coolers, freezers. As such, it is compelling, both as advanced engineering, providing a simple mechanical room in a box, and as value for money over its unequaled 30-year life. As we look at the coming year, Flow is excited to see our first installations become operational, including the project planned for the local 455 training facility. People often underestimate how hard it is for startups to secure their first customers if they can't point to a tangible demonstration that their technology works and can thrive in real-world conditions. It is known as the commercialization valley of death for a reason. Even with the brightest team and best technologies, the step is still critical to market traction, scaling, and in our case, building manufacturing capabilities right here in Minnesota. And the demonstration step is even more important in mission-critical applications like heating and cooling in the built environment. This is why we're so grateful to Minnesota Energy Alley Initiative for its crucial support at exactly the right time in our technology and business development. With the initiative's support and the guidance from the teams at Grid Catalyst at SEEM, we will mobilize our pilot this spring and have a fully working heat pump installed by this summer. It will be a showcase for what's possible, a place to bring future customers and a training ground for the next generation of workforce that masters cutting-edge HVAC technology. We're incredibly grateful to the state of Minnesota for giving us this pathway to success, to build and grow from our Minnesota home base. We know Flow can be a tremendous success story for Minnesota innovation and economic development. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burney. I want to thank all of our testifiers today. Having had the privilege of touring at Flow and going to see other great local businesses, the electrolyzers up in, you know, wherever. I'm forgetting exactly where they were located, but SEEM has provided some great opportunities to see some of the really great work that's being done here in Minnesota. So thank you for that. Any questions from members? Any questions from members? Yes, Mr. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a comment. One of our testifiers wasn't able to get his testimony in on time. We sent it in about 9:35, and it was said it would make it, but it didn't. So I just wanted to mention it. So this is Mr. Tom Nelson. He's the producer of Climate the Movie. He's done 143 podcasts talking about climate in detail. Okay. He's also created this documentary, which highlights conversations of leading client scientists with a different take. And so I'd just like you to let you know that letter is available through our CAs. And please take time to review his letter. So thank you.
And thank you, Representative Murphy. That letter was posted on the website, and so it is available electronically. It had just missed the print deadline. So thank you for highlighting that. Any questions or comments? Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Kraft, for bringing this bill. I just want to comment about how much I love this. Obviously, I'm already a co-author on this, but I want to commend Ms. Axelson for all the work on this. I mean, just the return on investment that this has given Minnesota alone speaks for itself, but just the way that you talk about this and the energy and the enthusiasm, like, you have made this a success, and the team that you've been able to build, and obviously all the projects that are currently also just kind of speaking for themselves. And, you know, it's so exciting to tour the heat pump demonstration project. And so I'm excited to tour more of them, because this is exactly what we want in Minnesota. Thank you.
There wasn't a question there. I don't know if anyone wanted to respond at the testifier table. Representative Kraft? No?
I will just say thank you, Representative Jones, obviously, with your previous work in looking at other efficiency technology from your previous organization. But the excitement is very genuine. We just really believe this is the place where this technology can thrive and be great for our local economies and communities. Thank you.
Well, it doesn't look like there's any other questions or comments. Any closing remarks, Representative Kraft?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And what I would say is this, you look through some of this stuff, and it's super exciting. And I got to tell you, Representative Murphy, whether or not it's a climate-related investment, these are really exciting investments in clean energy that I hope we can all get behind. I didn't mention climate at all in this discussion. This is the technology of the 21st century that's happening, regardless of what we think about climate or not. And this is a way for Minnesota to lead and participate and generate jobs and just do great stuff. So I really hope that this can have bipartisan support, because it's just good business.
And with that, House File 1013 is laid over. Thank you. And next on our agenda, we have Representative Hollins presenting House File 1598. And as she's getting settled, I will say Representative Hollins moves House File 1598 be laid over. I do believe you have an author's amendment.
I do, Madam Speaker, that's correct.
Would you like to move the A1 to get bill in?
Yes, I would like to move my author's amendment. I can tell you a little bit about it if you would like.
Please, that would be great.
Absolutely. So it includes a definition for geothermal systems, referring to a definition that is in prior statute. And it also inserts the amount of money that we are asking for, $10 million from RDA, $10 million from the general fund. And then a couple other technical changes.
Great. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. With that, the amendment is adopted. Representative Hollins, go ahead and tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill, as amended, that's before you, would provide $20 million to the Minnesota Climate Innovation Finance Authority, or MINCIFA. We called it the Green Bank a lot when we were working on it back in 2023, to establish a low-interest revolving loan fund for school districts to install HVAC systems and or geothermal systems to heat and cool their buildings. For folks who aren't familiar with MINCIFA, it was passed back in 2023, as I mentioned. And states across the U.S. have similar banks, Texas, Florida, Louisiana. There are over 16 of them in the United States. And it's a new concept to Minnesota, but it's been around and operating successfully across the entire country. So the goal of this bill is to invest $20 million from the state and give it to MINCIFA and let MINCIFA leverage about $80 million or more in public-private philanthropic capital to create a revolving loan fund near $100 million for schools to utilize for these projects. It would allow schools to apply for the revolving loan fund to cover the cost to install new HVAC systems or geothermal systems to heat and cool their buildings. And additionally, schools would be able to get their credit for the inflation reduction tax credits up front, so they wouldn't have to worry about covering those expenses until they are reimbursed at a later date by the federal government. This is really important to me personally because my kids go to St. Paul Public Schools, and over 50% of the schools in our district don't have some sort of heating or cooling mechanism. And while that might have been sufficient in the past, certainly with the more extreme temperatures that we're seeing, it's no longer sufficient. And it's really interesting because at this point, even the beginning of the school year, it's almost too hot for them to be in the building. And at the end of the school year, it's too hot for them to be in the buildings. And so it's important to me personally that we start updating these systems, which are notably very expensive to update. What I do want to point out is that in this bill, we did say that the amount of money needs to be divided equally between Greater Minnesota and the 7-county metro area. Because we recognize that a lot of the schools in Greater Minnesota are in desperate need of updates. And I want to point out that a lot of the schools in Greater Minnesota are also function as severe weather shelters for the people living in those areas. And so having a consistent temperature that is controlled is really important in those situations, especially when we're talking about our elderly folks coming in when there's excessive heat or storm warnings. In conclusion, no school district wants this for their students and teachers, and retrofitting older buildings is incredibly expensive and comes with multi-million dollar price tag, which is a cost that falls on local taxpayers. I know that while schools want to be able to update their systems, they don't want to overly burden the people that are living in those school districts. And so this is a win-win for schools, for taxpayers, and for the environment. Really quickly, before I turn it over to testifiers, I wanted to bring folks' attention to a letter of support that was submitted as part of the packet. There are a number of organizations that are supporting this bill, including the 49ers, the Minnesota Pipe Trades, Darcy, Clean Energy Economy, Flow, CEE, et cetera. And without further ado, I would like to turn it over to my testifiers.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. There are two testifiers. We have Willie Miley from Darcy Solutions. Mr. Miley, make your way to the testifier table. And you can introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Akam, Co-Chair Swedzinski, and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Willie Miley. I'm the Regulatory Director at Darcy Solutions, and we are a Minnesota-based energy technology company that designs and oversees the installation of groundwater-enabled geothermal heating and cooling systems. Darcy geothermal systems have been installed in various commercial and government buildings and schools across the state. As Representative Holland said in her opening remarks, many schools in Minnesota do not have effective air conditioning or ventilation systems. The hot Minnesota summer weather has been starting earlier in the spring and extending longer into the fall. We now also get more widespread wildfire smoke events throughout Minnesota, which pose health concerns for people in buildings that must rely on open windows for cooling or have inadequate ventilation systems. It is difficult for students and teachers to focus on learning in hot classrooms without efficient cooling and ventilation systems, and some schools even have to close due to extreme weather events, specifically in extreme heat. So installing effective air ventilation and geothermal heating and cooling systems have many benefits for the students, school districts, and the greater community. Geothermal systems have a lower total cost of ownership than conventional HVAC systems, with project payback periods typically occurring within 5 to 10 years. Geothermal systems typically use 25 to 50% less energy for heating and 20 to 30% less energy for cooling than conventional HVAC systems. Geothermal systems also have a much longer system longevity, with geothermal wells lasting well over 50 years. So the energy cost savings are realized by the school district and taxpayers for a substantial time period. Darcy geothermal systems are now being installed at Bruce Vento Elementary School and Hidden River Middle School in St. Paul. The expected savings for operating these geothermal systems are $200,000 per year at Bruce Vento and $143,000 per year at Hidden River. With these operational cost savings, the geothermal systems are expected to pay for themselves within 10 years. Thank you very much, Representative Hollins, for authoring this impactful bill for promoting energy-efficient and cost-effective HVAC systems in our schools. I respectfully urge the committee members to please advance this bill. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Miley. Next on the testifier list, we have Peter Klein, former executive director of MNCIFA. Welcome to committee. Please go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Co-Chair. Peter Klein, I was the original executive director of MNCIFA and on my way out to retirement, hopefully, by May 1st. My replacement, Kari Groth Swan, is taking over, and she's traveling, and so asked me to fill in for her today. So MNCIFA has accomplished its strategic plan and investment strategy. Those needed to be in place by December 15th. We did accomplish that, and we do have our underwriting guidelines in place. So we're really off and running. The original legislation limited us to implementing about $11 million of projects. We did that in 2024 with three projects throughout the state. And tomorrow the board should approve four more projects for another $10 to $15 million. That's how MNCIFA is probably going to roll out for the rest of the year, 3 to 5, 6 projects each month. $10 to $20 million a year, all very exciting projects. The one area when we were approached for this geothermal recommendation is we're already trying to leverage our funding with the federal funds that are available through the Department of Energy Loan Program Office. So we have a proposal to the U.S. Department of Energy Loan Program Office for $150 million of solar on schools. So we're looking to expand the grant program that is sunsetting and to allow for school districts to implement solar on schools. That, the way that that would work out is MNCIFA funds will fund the investment tax credit portion of the project, and then we'd look for the loan program office to fund the longer term 10-year portion of the project. These solar projects have a similar payback of 5 to 10 years, and feel that this is another way for us to leverage the state funding that we have to accomplish more projects and let the federal funds hang out there on the long-term portion and for us to revolve our funds more rapidly in a 1 to 2 year period to be able to fund a lot more projects. So this would just be another ask of the loan program office. We're in stage two at the U.S. Department of Energy Loan Program Office for our solar for schools. We're at stage one for another $500 million ask with Minnesota State and its 56 campuses. And then we're working with the U of M for a significant ask and other state agencies. So we actually have in excess of $5 billion of projects that we're looking to bring forward in the next year or so. And we see the loan program office as a great avenue for us to leverage our funds and accomplish more projects. Thank you.
Thank you. That sounds like some exciting things to come. Thank you for your work with that. Do you have some questions, Representative Jones?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Klein, it's good to see you again. And I had a question around the Loans Program Office because I've been hearing some worrisome things, and I'm wondering from the, you know, the Trump-Musk administration, and so curious how are things progressing there, and do you have any concerns about how that may affect the programming here?
Mr. Klein.
Thank you. We have weekly meetings with the Loan Program Office staff on both the Solar for Schools proposal and also with the Minnesota State proposal. And we've also brought up the potential of bringing another area for another ask of them for ice rinks throughout the state, so publicly owned ice rinks to get off of R22. And a lot of them are looking at using these geothermal systems as well. So the discussions with them, all of the individuals that we have been meeting with are still employed. They're still operating. They are advising us to proceed as usual. Our expectation is that they're going to work through this initial period of the new administration, but then we'll be able to implement projects and to be able to have their loans match with our loans. So we are optimistic that we will be able to accomplish all of these various areas of financing. So they're in several stages. So the Solar for Schools is in phase two, Minnesota State's in phase one, and then the University of Minnesota and other state agencies and the ICE ranks are in early stages with them. But we are optimistic that they will come through. When you look at it from any perspective, we're saving taxpayer money. These pay for themselves. We're creating jobs and also reducing CO2 emissions. So it really is a win for everybody.
Any follow-up, Representative Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Klein. I think those are very good reasons as to why this program is so important and why the Loans Program Office is so key for helping us make investments here in Minnesota, for advancing our technologies and making especially our public institutions especially more cost effective to run and provide their services. So thank you.
Next on the list, Representative Sexton.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Forgive me for my freshman question, but I have a question of the bill author more in semantics. Is this the time, or do you want me to wait?
Sure. No, go right ahead.
Okay. Great bill. Representative Hollins, I have a school in mind in my area that could really use the air ventilation improvement, but geothermal is kind of ruled out to geography, drilling the wells and things like that. You said and or in your testimony, but I only see and I just want to make sure maybe we can look at the language of the bill to make sure that if my school applies for an air ventilation improvement loan, they wouldn't be knocked out of the ballpark because they weren't going to do geothermal. That's my only question or observation.
I would be willing to bet we want all schools to be able to participate, Representative Hollins.
That's correct. We would definitely want all schools to be able to participate. I think that one of the things that we also expressed, if you look at the amendment, is we also included roofing, insulation, other improvements meant to meet building performances. And so that would probably be a part of also what we would recommend in that is making sure that the school is keeping whatever heat it has in there or keeping whatever cooling it has in there to make sure that it's working as efficiently as possible, because that's also an aspect of the energy conservation.
Any follow-up, Representative Sexton?
Certainly. I appreciate all that, being a building performance guy myself. I just want to make sure that we're clear in our language, because obviously the people who are implementing it are not here today. So I would just ask for an and or something like that for clarification.
Thank you. And the bill is being laid over, so I think we can continue working with Representative Hollins to make sure that it's in good shape. Thank you for that. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Hollins. Probably more of a comment here. Love this approach. I love building energy efficiency, and then also geothermal is a form of renewable. And one of the things about renewables is tends to be the cheapest form of energy because there's no fuel cost. But the other side of it is there's often an upfront cost that is hard to get folks over. And so I really like that this will help folks get past that upfront cost in a revolving way that can systemically do this over time. You're talking about adding new functionality to a lot of places, heating and cooling. And then the other kind of nice consequence of this is this should lower costs in school districts and allow more money to be spent on education. So thank you for bringing this bill.
My apologies, I got distracted. Was there a question? No, sorry. All right, next we have on the list, Representative Wiener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is to the part of the bill that's for equalization, I guess. It states in here high rates of poverty determined by receipt of federal Title I. How many school districts do we have, either in greater Minnesota or in the seven county metro that would fall into?
Representative Hollins,
that's a great question. I don't know off the top of my head. I couldn't say. I suspect quite a few, but yeah.
Okay.
Representative Wiener.
Next question would be, it also states funding of equal number of projects. Now, I would assume not all projects are created equal, and costs are different out in greater Minnesota than they are in the metro. So then you could theoretically end up putting more money towards the metro while ignoring the higher rates that potentially could be out in greater Minnesota by this language.
Representative Hollins.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Wiener, for the question. Looking at the language, it says funding an equal number of projects in the seven county metro and seven county metropolitan area. So it's not a 50-50 split of the money. It's a 50-50 split of the projects, the number of projects. So would that not address the concern?
I'm sorry, Ms. Madam Chair. I would think, based on school size, that smaller rural schools are going to be less expensive for these projects, meaning they would spend less per school. And if you went equal number, so say you did one school in whatever, Becker, because Mecklen's sitting here beside me, and that project cost $500,000, whereas a project in Minneapolis might cost, you know, $2 million. So then you would end up with different amounts that would end up going towards Greater Minnesota versus the metro. So in an attempt to have an equal number of projects, you could also have a disproportionate number of or amount of money that goes to the metro versus Greater Minnesota. Does that make sense?
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Weiner. That does make sense. I understand what you're saying. And I think because the goal of the bill is to address issues in school districts, like it has to be applied to by school districts, I can't control how many schools are in a different school district. And so I don't know that I have a good way of addressing that issue other than and recognizing that we don't want to do it by population, right? We don't want to do it where a school that has 200 kids versus a school that has 1,500 kids, and the 1,500 kids get a lot more. And so my goal with this was to make it as egalitarian as possible, recognizing that it's going to be spread around more in Greater Minnesota, but also potentially that means, you know, there's a greater spread of the effect as opposed to in the metro area itself. Does that make sense?
Representative Weiner.
I understand the intent, and I think once again with the way this is written, more dollars would go to the Seven County Metro than would go to Greater Minnesota.
Representative Hollins.
I suspect that is probably accurate. Because of the cost of doing business in the Seven County Metro, I would assume that that's probably true. I mean, I know our groceries cost more here than when I go to Greater Minnesota, but the point is that we all get fed. And so that was my goal with it. But I'm happy to continue talking with you about it and trying to figure out how to make it a more egalitarian split.
And as Representative Hollins, the bill will be laid over, so there will be opportunities to continue working on it. Any other comments or questions from members? I just want to say I really appreciate this bill and this program. I appreciated the fact when you pointed out that in rural Minnesota, actually through all of our communities, schools are really a gathering place for communities. And in times of bad weather or weather outages, to be able to utilize those public buildings can be very helpful. So appreciate this bill a lot. With that, did you have any closing statements?
No.
Okay. With that, the bill is laid over. Thank you to our testifiers. And Representative Hollins is up again with the next bill. So House File 1656. And would you like to move your bill, Representative Hollins?
Yes, Madam Speaker. I move that House File 1656 be laid over for consideration in the omnibus.
I think you said speaker, but you meant chair.
Okay, I'm out of practice. I'm sorry.
It's all good. No. No. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about your bill, please?
Absolutely. I am super excited to be here today to present this bill to all of you. This is a project right here in the city of St. Paul at the Como Park and Conservatory. It appropriates just over $2 million in the fiscal year 2026 from the RDA account to construct geothermal energy systems in the large cat building at Como Zoo. The city of St. Paul is working to get to net zero emissions by 2030, and actually the Como Zoo is one of the areas that creates the most, that uses up the most energy in the city of St. Paul. Almost 25% of the energy usage is within the buildings that the city owns and manages. 25% of the energy is used in the Como Zoo. So really quick, I have to highlight the Como Zoo because I love it. And it's not in my district anymore, but it almost is. And it's the only free zoo in the state of Minnesota. We're really proud of the fact that it is visited by people from all across the entire country and world. Only 16% of the visitors are from St. Paul, 42% are from Metro, 22% are from Greater Minnesota, and 16% are from out of state. So really, this is something that's enjoyed by everybody, and it is a city asset in my mind. So in October, Como Zoo and Conservatory started phase one by transitioning the primates and polar bear buildings from natural gas-fueled heating to geothermal energy and electric heat pumps. That's significantly reducing the greenhouse gas emissions and also helping the zoo and the city save money. And I believe Chair Akam was actually at the groundbreaking of that. So
I was.
Thank you.
Yes.
And so this project would be the single biggest step that we would take in, that the city has taken to date to advance its clean energy goals. It would also convert the entire campus to LED lighting and building control systems that will greatly enhance energy efficiency. And so I've got a couple of testifiers that are experts in zoo stuff and energy that will know way more than me.
Wonderful. Welcome to committee. I'll let you guys go ahead and introduce yourself and proceed with the testimony.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. Thank you, Chair Akam. Thank you, Chair Swadzinski and committee members. My name is Erica Prosser, and I'm the Deputy Director of St. Paul Parks and Recreation. And not to correct you right away, but I am only on week three of my job as the interim director of Como Zoo and Conservatory. So I appreciate all of your grace with me today. You shared some numbers of our visitors and where they come from across the state. I have some additional numbers that I'd like to share with you today. Como Zoo and Conservatory is an economic engine that provides $162 million in economic impact to the state of Minnesota, generating close to 2,100 jobs. On an annual basis, over 400,000 students are touched by programs and field trips to Como Zoo and Conservatory. We are continuously addressing the critical habitat and animal habitat and energy efficiency asset preservations, asset preservation that we must meet in modern zoological practices. As Representative Holland stated, we have set an ambitious goal to reduce energy costs by 20%. And to continue to upgrade the facility heating and cooling systems at our facility, we need additional funding to remain a viable and sustainable entity with a mission to inspire the public to value the presence of living things in our lives. We are currently operating on a failing and unreliable 40-plus-year-old campus-wide heating source. Our facility currently does not have the funds available to change over this inefficient natural gas steam boiler to a more energy efficient heating and cooling system that will begin the decarbonization of our campus. I feel like the agenda today worked out perfectly. Mr. Miley provided some of the background information that I think is helpful in our testimony here today. Darcy Geothermal is our contractor in the phase one of our geothermal project at Como Zoo and Conservatory. So in 2022, a geothermal feasibility study was completed for the campus by Sustainable Energy Savings in partnership with XL Energy. And they found that our campus contains excellent hydrogeology for installation of groundwater-based geothermal systems, since our area contains three major bedrock aquifers within 600 feet of the surface. This study compared electric, gas, and geothermal HVAC system options for 11 buildings on our campus, identifying that significant utility cost savings could be achieved through geothermal options. The geothermal project paybacks per building range anywhere or range between 3 and 9 years. The annual net savings on utility costs for each building in that study ranged between $42,000 and $438,000 annually. Replacing our systems with a more reliable clean energy source will advance us towards our clean energy goals and will ensure animal life safety as well as the visitor, as well as visitor experiences can be maintained. The geothermal conversion projects at Como Park Zoo and Conservatory are a major milestone in our efforts to move toward a cleaner St. Paul. As Representative Hollins shared, our campus represents as much as 25% of the city's overall use of energy in the buildings that we own and operate. With millions of visitors to Como campus every year, one of the few remaining free public zoos in our country, this is a really significant location to advance our work. We have a strong focus on conservation at Como Zoo and Conservatory, which supports the well-being of our visitors and the greater community through formal and informal education efforts. Having a geothermal system at our campus is a perfect opportunity to demonstrate how clean energy systems can impact the well-being of plants, animals, and humans. My background is in public administration, so I'm always thinking about the how to being a good steward of our public resources and efficiently using our public funds. This is a perfect project because it combines both the education that we can provide to the community and helps us lower the cost of our operational systems. The additional funding for our Big Cat exhibit. Big cats include tigers, lions, snow leopards, and cougars, is needed for conversion of every animal in this exhibit, but for all of our visitors and staff in the building and on our campus. Thank you again for the time for your time today. I ask you put the energy omnibus bill together this session, that you all can support this legislation to help Como Zoo and Conservatory, and this statewide asset of Como Zoo and Conservatory with this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you, and I will just say I appreciate you pointing out the fact that there will be some educational opportunities on site. I think that just as with solar, when we can see things and demonstrate the benefits that they bring, that can be a great educational tool for us all. And I think kind of normalize and socialize it into these new technologies into our way of life. So I appreciate you pointing that out. And Mr. Stark, I see you're here. Did you have any testimony to provide today, or are you?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and committee members, just here to answer questions if they come up, particularly about the system. Thank you.
Wonderful. Great. Then with that, if any questions from members in the committee? Any Representative Baker?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm not sure if I should ask the interim director or not, or maybe the author. Why just the big cats? I mean, my wife likes this a lot. I mean, I just, are there other exhibits and such? I mean, just is it the last piece of it? But again, love the big cats, but is there a reason why that one was chosen?
Representative Hollins?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Baker. I think the answer, I'm going to try my best, is that it's a phased project, and so this is just one of the many phases. But I think that's a fair question. I go to Como Zoo a lot with my kids, and probably all of it needs to be redone. So, yeah.
No. Any other questions from members? Oh, did you have? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mr. Stark.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just some additional information there. We are in the process of finalizing design of a new facility for the Big Cats, and so this would actually be part of the new building out there.
And again, those upfront costs are a little higher, but the long-term savings are really key to us, and so we're excited about that. Because of that feasibility study that was done for the rest of the campus, we're looking to kind of phase these systems in over time and get off of that really old, inefficient gas boiler system. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. That's great. Doesn't look like there's any more questions. Would you like to close? Any closing comments, Representative Hollins?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thank you all for considering the project. I think it's a really good one. It's important to the entire state. The Como Zoo and Conservatory brings people in from the entire state. And hopefully, if any of you have kids, you take a second to go there and look at the big cats, because it's pretty fun. And if you're going, like, holler at me. I'll come bring my kids, too.
Awesome. With that, House File 1656 is laid over. Thank you to all of you for being here today for that. And last bill on the agenda today is House File 2162 with Representative Mahmoud. And as she makes her way to the table, I will just go ahead and move House File 2162 be laid over. And I see you have an author's amendment coded A1. Representative, would you like to move the A1?
Yes, Chair, I would like to move the A1, please.
Great. Maybe what you could actually do is tell us a little bit about the A1, please.
Okay, so this author amendment fills in the amount appropriated from the RDA account to $2 million and adds tribal governments to be eligible entities.
Great. Any discussion to the A1? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. With that, Representative, would you like to tell us about your bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Acom and members of the committee. It is my pleasure to introduce House File 2162 today. In 2024, a geothermal planning grant program was established. However, this only fulfilled part of the need and demand for Minnesota communities that are working to establish carbon-free energy independence through the establishment of geothermal and thermal energy networks. Geothermal and thermal energy networks are a growing industry in Minnesota with enormous potential to provide Minnesotans with clean energy to heat and cool our homes with buildings. Communities across the state are increasingly looking to geothermal as a solution to meet energy needs and to do so without the negative economic and public health harms caused by air pollution. These systems not only provide a reliable heating and cooling year-round to Minnesota buildings, but also provide long-term solutions to reduce building carbon emission in Minnesota. House File 2162 funds this program for an additional $2 million of grants capped at $150,000 each to continue to support planning and feasibility efforts across Minnesota cities, both urban and rural. Local governments have unique opportunities to deploy geothermal systems, especially in smaller communities. Local governments and buildings are often older and among the largest buildings in the community. This makes them especially well-suited to geothermal, as outdated HVAC systems are converted to cleaner alternatives that have no ongoing fuel cost, creating long-term savings for taxpayers. House File 2162 is a modest step to help more communities gain access to this rapidly growing industry, and I'm pleased to be joined by those who support and those who would be supported by these grants, and I'm happy to hear from testifiers today.
And it looks like we have Mr. Friesen from Fresh Energy. Please introduce yourself for the committee and go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Ickham, Co-Chair Swazinski, and members of the committee. My name is Sam Friesen. I'm the Managing Director of Buildings at Fresh Energy. Fresh Energy is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization based in Minnesota. For the past 30 years, we have been advocating for policies to achieve an equitable, carbon-neutral economy. We appreciate this opportunity to speak in support of House File 2162 today. Geothermal and thermal energy networks are high-efficiency, high-reliability means of heating Minnesota's buildings and transitioning to an energy-independent, low-carbon economy. Older buildings take a lot of heat, and geothermal systems are poised to deliver year-round comfort and reliability in Minnesota's most challenging conditions. The $2 million of planning grants provided by House File 2162 would make it more viable for cities and municipalities to implement these emissions-free heating systems and would save tax dollars through reduced heating bills and long-term maintenance. In conversations with Commerce, the original appropriation was $1.2 million, and $2.56 million was requested by at least 19 applicants. This bill also extends its impact with an additional amendment, ensuring the grants will be accessible to urban, rural, and tribal governments across the state. This bill is good for communities, energy, jobs, and industry. We strongly urge you to support HF 2162 and the resources it will bring to Minnesota communities across the state. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Friesen. And I think we have one testifier online. Taylor Wyam, project coordinator with Crookston Housing and Economic Development Authority. Ms. Wyam, go ahead when you're ready.
Good afternoon, Chair Akam and members of the committee. My name is Taylor Wyam, and I'm a project coordinator for the City of Crookston Economic Development Department. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you all today. Before I started my position with the City of Crookston, I was an AmeriCorps member, and I worked with the Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships, commonly referred to as RSDP, and the Clean Energy Resource Team, commonly referred to as CERTS. Through that work, I helped to establish Empower Crookston, which is a regional energy partnership, and I now help to lead that organization as part of my role with the city. Since 2023, the City of Crookston has been a core partner in Empower Crookston, alongside our utility, Otter Tail Power Company, Fresh Energy, Minnesota Deed, the Northwest Minnesota Regional Development Commission, CERTS, RSDP, and the University of Minnesota Crookston. One of our key priorities has been to develop a large networked geothermal system in a neighborhood near several industrial heat-based producers. And this priority actually aligns with an upcoming street and sewer infrastructure reconstruction in that same neighborhood. And that creates a unique opportunity for us to reduce costs for those projects, lower energy bills, improve reliability, and increase property values for residents and businesses. However, like many small cities, Crookston lacked funding for a feasibility study for a geothermal system. That was until the Geothermal Planning Grant Program provided a solution. The City of Crookston, as acting as the lead for Empower Crookston, submitted a proposal for this grant program under the previous funding round to the Department of Commerce. And meanwhile, we are working to complete our street reconstruction plan, keeping these planning processes aligned. And something I want to stress is that Crookston is just one example of a community that's lacking in those planning dollars. Many small cities and tribal communities could benefit from this funding, supporting infrastructure investment and creating jobs. Again, pre-development planning dollars remain difficult to secure in rural communities, and so we urge you to continue funding the Geothermal Planning Grant Program to help more communities unlock these opportunities. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Wyam. With that, any questions from members? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question about the geothermal in general. Maybe the testifier would have more expertise. Do these systems use pretty much a closed system of circulation? And then my second question, and I talked to folks 5 or 10 years ago, so maybe this is outdated. When they put a heat pump in their home, it would heat the home down to, for example, zero or a certain temperature, and then below that they had to have a supplemental heating system. Is that still the case today?
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Friesen, I bet you can answer those questions.
Yes, thank you for your question, Representative. So typically the geothermal systems are operated on closed-loop systems. Some of the early ones in rural areas in the residential setting you might have heard of being what they used to call a pump and dump, that doesn't really exist anymore, but all the modern ones are. And the technology you're referring to as far as low temperature concerns would be your air source heat pump systems. Geothermal use heat from the earth rather than the air, so that's less of a concern, and it really performs well in the low temperatures we experience in, across the state.
Representative Anderson? No? Okay. Any other questions? Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson, just maybe a little bit to follow up on that, given the conversation about air source heat pumps. So I actually have one in my home, and I don't have any other backup than an air source heat pump. They can function down to negative 20 with newer technologies today.
Representative Weiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My concern, I guess, or what I'd like to bring up is we saw an attempt or a desire with Representative Holland's bill about equalizing between Greater Minnesota and the Metro. And when we have bills like this, it says eligible applicant, county, city, town, tribal government. What happens a lot of times is these small communities do not have the resources, grant writers, and so forth to apply for projects like this. So they inevitably get left behind. The other thing that we see is short windows a lot of times. The first applicants get preference in these projects, not just, of course, this one, but almost any grant projects, where it seems like these smaller communities in Greater Minnesota get left behind through these processes because they don't have the resources to apply in the first place. So in the future, if we could try to equalize this a better, if the money was split, you know, 50-50 outside the seven county metro when these grants come forward, I think that might be a little bit more beneficial to the whole state. Although this does apply and says, you know, equal to or eligible applicants, they just don't have the resources to even apply for these things. So I just wanted to bring that up.
And I will maybe just start, and I don't know if Mr. Friesen has anything to say in addition, but last year, I originally authored this bill and authored it because of the great work that was going on in Crookston and their interest in combining something with their street project. And I thought this is a great opportunity for cities anywhere in our state to look at the cost-benefit analysis. And so that was what inspired the bill. I really appreciate your comments. And I don't know if Mr. Friesen knows of the 19 projects that were or applications that were put in. Do you happen to know any breakdown about Greater Minnesota Metro, Mr. Friesen?
We don't at this moment, but we'd be happy to follow up and try to get those numbers if we can.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Any follow-up, Mr. or Representative Weiner? No. Okay. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just, you know, I think it was kind of telling. We had a testifier from Otter Tail, which is not in Xcel Energy. And, you know, the RDA fund is generated through Xcel ratepayers, a tax on the casks that are stored at Monticello and in Prairie Island. And I think, you know, today we heard over almost $20 million in requests from ratepayers of Xcel and another $10 million on top of that for general fund spending when it comes to these programs. Last week we heard a bill primarily that talked about returning these dollars back to ratepayers. And, you know, whenever the state of Minnesota offers free money for others to pay for their projects in their cities and towns, there's always going to be someone willing to take it. And, you know, I think one of the focuses of this committee should be and take the lead from Xcel. Xcel announced that they were going to be returning $300 million back to ratepayers that they overcharged or they had extra, whatever the source of the funds were. You know, I think the legislature should be looking very seriously at how we can contribute to that same process. And rather than picking winners and losers across the state, whether they're from rural Minnesota or the metro, as this amendment talked about, it didn't specify that the tribal government would even have to be from Xcel territory. It just said tribal government, cities from across the state. And I think we should be looking at long and hard as the cost of doing business in Minnesota, the cost of doing business nationally continues to rise, and energy costs, we should be looking at maybe having less to do with that increase in cost and sending these dollars back to ratepayers. So with that, that's all we've got to say. Thanks.
And I will only say in response to that that the renewable development account was developed to find alternative energy forms to fossil fuels and to nuclear, honestly. And so I think when we are investing in solar or in geothermal and encouraging that to throughout the state, I think that is a good thing. And when we heard earlier from the former executive director of MNCFA, the amount of money that they're taking from that account and leveraging with federal funds, $5 billion of investments coming from the Department of Energy Loan Office, I mean, that's pretty impressive, and those will make meaningful impacts in Minnesota and decarbonizing and making energy more affordable for all of us. So I appreciate the comments, and I appreciate the bill today. Any final closing comments, Representative Mahmoud?
Thank you guys for your time, and I hope you support the bill.
With that, House File 2162 is laid over, and that closes out our agenda today, and Representative or Chair Swazinski will have the gavel on Thursday. So we'll see you then. Thank you.